Check 1 2 1 2, bitch.
What up?
This is episode 288.
288
of the most consistent podcast in the area.
Give me a hell yeah!
This is your boy Busby,
and over here is your boy JC. No honey.
What's up, y'all? What's up, boy? What's up with you?
Chilling, man. Chilling.
Yeah, recording on a Friday.
It's been one of those weeks, but just had to make sure we produce some kind of content so it could be out there.
Of course.
And none better than a Friday night since I ain't doing shit anyways.
Yeah, we both got jobs. We're off, and we ain't got shit to do. So we're just
doing
a podcast just to entertain y'all.
Right.
You know.
How was your week?
It was chill for the most part. Worked. And worked again. Chilled. Enjoyed my Niners beating the fucking Cowgirls, which is always nice. Mm-hmm. Get to that in a bit. Yeah. And, that's pretty much it. Did I go to the movies? Yes, I did go to the movies. I saw that movie, Puss in Boots.
Everybody been raving about that one.
Bro, that movie has no business being that good. Like,
Puss in Boots. Everybody said Puss in Boots is what Avatar should have been.
I ain't gonna say all that, but it has.
Well, they're saying as far as story goes and all the hype that built up, like they're saying, for that purpose.
Yeah, that movie has no business being that good. Like I kept hearing a lot of hype about it, and I was just like, you know what? And it got nominated for an Oscar for Best Animated Picture, and I was just like, you know, let me go see this. And I watched it, and I was literally, like, entertained throughout the entire movie. It's up there with the first Shrek movie. It's one of the best movies. It's one of the best movies that I've seen, period. Like, the fuck? It's made by the same people who did Into the Spider-Verse. So the animation got a CGI, but it's more animated. It's really good, surprisingly.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah, I have to check that out. Mm-hmm. What was I doing? I peeped out that 90s show on Netflix.
Oh, how's that?
It's, you could tell the first half, because it's 10 episodes, the first half is really focusing on the nostalgia. That's for basically the bulk of the cameos from all the first cast from that 70s show.
Yeah.
Appears, all except Danny Masterson, of course, is Hyde. But who is it? The parents, both Kitty and Red, the actors, they're actually the executive producers of this one.
Oh, nice.
So it's a situation where you got to get through the first four or five episodes because they really lean on the nostalgia.
Mm-hmm.
Once you get through episode six, the characters themselves start branching out. I mean, you're familiar with the 70s show, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've watched a little bit of it. I never, like, binged it, like, how when it was on its heyday and shit. But
honestly, that 70s show is my top five in network shows. That's one, like, I would say go back and binge that. That shit is fucking hilarious.
Yeah. They pretty much took the Fuller House route, pretty much.
Yeah. So for those who don't know, it follows Eric and Donna's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
She comes back for the summer, and she stays with Eric's parents, who are her grandparents.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing with even though the characters are good, something just don't add up. Let me put this on spoiler alert real quick. Like the simple fact that you know everybody still keeps in contact, but it's Red's first time finding out that Kelso has a son.
Oh, wow.
So it's like, and then the whole story just could have been written better. The thing that made that 70s show so great at the start was that you didn't have to introduce everybody. They all knew each other, except for Fez. And Fez, it was just a quick, he's a foreign exchange student. This one, like, it's like she visits for the first time in her 14, 15 years of life, and then she just meets everybody, and then all of a sudden they just hang out in the basement. It's kind of like,
Let's just go with it.
How come you just... Yeah. So like I said, it's good for nostalgia. And then it picks up its own footing. So I wouldn't be surprised if there's a season two already written, ready to go.
That Full House reboot really set the tone for all these reboot shows coming back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, they really should. Okay, so this can work. And then all of a sudden, all these reboot shows come back. Huh. Right. Remember they did that? I remember they did that 80s show. They tried that shit.
Was garbage.
Yeah, I remember hearing about that. They said that shit was
that shit was garbage. It had nothing to do with that 70s show.
Oh wow! So it's trying to do its own.
They were trying to do their own thing. They basically what they did was they took all the raunchiness and like the quick hitter jokes without sustaining the characters. So it's just like one off jokes, and it's like that was mid, and I really don't care because I'm not connected to the characters. At least that 70s show, that you know, there was the raunch came from the fact that these characters were well developed. And that 80s show, I don't even think they finished the season. I think they got through like 6 or 7 episodes there.
Yeah, I remember it got canceled with the quickness.
Yeah. I'm trying to think what else. Dana White's Slap.
You watched that?
Listen.
Right. And I've been waiting, baby. For
far too long, I've been on YouTube just watching clips of niggas slapping each other. There's a whole TV show dedicated to it now. Yes, I've been watching.
that shit comes on right after Dynamite. That shit comes on
like Jackass of the Sporting Room.
and he produces it, man. Like, and they it's like CTE Central. They slapped the shit out of each other.
Which is wild, because now, I mean, it's nothing to make light of, but now it makes you look at that incident with his wife like, was this promo?
Yeah, you know.
What else was there? Have you been catching up with The Last of Us?
Yeah, I love that damn show, man. That second episode was literally the video game. Literally the video game, line for line, shot for shot. It was just like, wow, okay. Now I'm at that point now.
The facial development of the critter crawlers. I forgot what they're called.
The clickers.
The clickers, yes. I call them the critter crawlers. Critter crawlers. they be walking around, but they don't see shit unless you make a noise. Them niggas is the critter crawlers, bro.
And that wasn't animation. That was makeup.
That was literally
from the game. And it was just like, wow, this is.
You know what that is? Round of a damn applause.
They announced season two.
Yeah, oh, easy. Yeah, no choice.
Do you know about the storyline for Last of Us 2?
Yes, yeah. I watched both of them on YouTube.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah, I watched both of them.
Like, I played both games, so.
I'm brand new to the. I'm brand new to the PlayStation fam, so I didn't have so I just watched them.
Oh, yeah, I keep forgetting you got the Xbox shit, yeah. When that moment happens, I'm not going to spoil it, because, you know, I don't know how they're going to, like, I don't know how they're going to milk it, because when that moment happens.
I'm waiting on it.
That's what I'm seeing.
Yeah.
I don't think
I'm like, please wait till episode 9. You know how HBO does. HBO always, the climax is always episode 9, and then
it's not going to happen this season. It's not going to happen this season. It's probably going to happen in season 2.
No, but that's what I'm saying. When it does, just make it episode 9. Yeah. Whatever season it is, I'm fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's a great show, man. Have you watched that Velma shit?
Listen. you know what?
Somebody did this.
The first 5 minutes, my asshole started itching.
God damn.
It just went downhill from there.
I have
It's horrible.
It, so
it's
sure
really,
it
really bad.
I mean, with Scooby-Doo's not so much so, shit, there's really no reason to watch it.
Well, Scrappy's not even Scrappy. He's Norville, and he's black.
You mean Shaggy?
Shaggy, yes. Yeah, Shaggy. My fault. Yeah. Yeah, he's going by his name Norville now, and it's like, okay. And it just it's not good. And I even said, you know what? Maybe I'll just watch episode 2. It got worse. I took that shit off my list after that. I was like, it's not worth it. They gotta get
shit off the HBO. It already broke records on HBO Max, so it's probably gonna get a season 2. Because everyone's hate watching it.
It broke records for the wrong reasons. I'll tell you that much.
Because more people are curious to watch it. They want to see, like, is it really that bad? I mean, with me, it's horrible. No interest. Something told me not to watch it. Even when I saw the trailer, I was like, eh, it looks kind of cool, but no. Yeah. But,
yeah.
So where should we go now? That.
Oh, come on now. You know where we at. You know where we going with this. Come on, man. We in the 51st.
And we
need to talk up to what you already know, because as we're recording, I don't think you've seen episode 4 of BMF.
No, I have not.
But, okay.
Watch episode 3.
So let's talk about episode 3. talk about episode 3.
Yeah. I mean, you told me what happened in episode 4, but I did watch episode 3, so.
Yeah, so, okay. So what did you notice about episode 3?
What I noticed?
Yeah.
You know, I just watched it last night. Niggas be selling.
Oh, that's it?
No, there's more shit that happened. You gotta redo my memory.
You just watched it.
I know, I watched it last night.
You've seen it more recently than I have. Okay. Wow. So if you're gonna bitch and complain about your son selling drugs.
Oh yeah, that part, yes.
You probably shouldn't be broken playing bass in the church trying to get some coochie.
Seriously, bro.
some side coochie, I should say.
Yeah, but that family has so much pride not taking money from their son because it's like bad money. But it's like, dude, he's trying to help you. The dad's fucking annoying now, man. It's like, first I liked him in the first season. Now he's just so stubborn and annoying. Like, man.
You could tell them boys hate their father.
You know, I watch this Tariq watching that like, nigga, me too.
Yep. you know what that means. They gonna meet Kanan at some point. Nah, bro, this shit right here is now starting to get to this is power? At peak season 5 power.
Peak where, season you know what, 5 power. Oh, we you know what, just shark type of shit.
Anything that can happen, fine. You know, I've been trained for this. I'm good to go. Because the fact that these niggas was getting into a limo beef.
Oh, yeah.
Niggas was having a limo beef.
The limo
beef. A beef off.
A limo beef. Slashing tires, and then they jumped the nigga. Like, what?
And then the father had the nerve to be like, don't bring that street shit into my business. Nigga, what the fuck are you talking about?
What kind of shit is that?
And then the fucking the cliffhanger when Meech gets shot, and then the cops going like, get your hands on the floor, get your hands on the floor. Like, dude, what? Nigga got shot. Take him to the hospital. And he's all mad at him to the hospital. And then what makes it worse is that we know Meech ain't dead, so it's kind of just like...
Right, like, okay, so, all right, what am I supposed to do with this information?
Seriously, and that's where it ended, and I was like...
I know this nigga gonna wake up.
Yeah, because he's narrating this fucking story.
Yeah.
That's his son, so...
Yeah, I just, man... You know what, round of applause, man, that's all I'm gonna say, round of applause, because now it can go anywhere, okay? I'm just gonna let you know, episode 4, mm-hmm. Okay? They got this nigga Lamar moving around like he bossa nova, super nigga villain.
Like he's a winner.
Like the most horrifying super nigga villain you could ever think of. He's him now.
He's going for revenge.
it's beyond revenge. This nigga moving like he Paranormal Activity type shit.
Oh, wow. He's moving like Toby.
I know what they were going for. Exactly. I know what they were going for. They were going for that horror effect, but this shit, you just can't help but laugh. I laughed the entire time this nigga was on my screen.
I bet he was humming. You can't.
Oh, no. He sang another black gospel, R&B gospel.
Which one's this one?
Nope, you gotta find out. Because how they got him to sing it is fucking hilarious. Oh,
God. Watching the old Happy Day from Sister Act 2 or something.
Oh, Happy Day. Oh, Happy Day.
It's some shit, man.
I'm sure.
But yeah, no, BMF. BMF is that shit.
It's wild. I only watch Stars just to watch 50 shows, and then I don't watch none of the movies. Maybe Spider-Man. Maybe stuff
like that. I'll watch B-Valley.
You starting to watch season one now?
I'm already done.
Oh, okay. What do you think of season one?
It was good.
Mm-hmm. Now you understand why the main character's gone. Now it kind of hurts the show a bit, but we'll see.
I mean, for season one, she was the focal point. Mm-hmm. But season two, they were able to bring every other character out.
Yeah, true.
And so it's not that big of a, to me, it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah, but they about to jump the shark on that show. I can just sense it. I can sense it. After the ending of season two, I'm like, oh, they about to jump the shark for this shit. But,
yeah. We're going to see.
We're going to see. I need to watch more shows on Stars. What other show did I watch? Oh, I watched that one show. That's the Sylvester Stallone show on Paramount Plus. Tulsa King? I don't know if you heard about that. Yeah, made by the same guy who did fucking Yellowstone. And that one was actually good, too. Like, this dude really is. He's Courtney Kemp of Paramount Plus.
Well, damn.
I think I told you this. What Courtney Kemp is to Stars, what Courtney Kemp and 50 Cent is to Stars, that's who this dude is to Paramount. That, like, what Kevin Costner to Paramount Plus, or Paramount, period. He got the Yellowstone shit. He got his own universe on lock.
Yeah.
Good shit. You like the show.
Huh, so who's that one for HBO?
Damn, they got a whole all-star. They got all-star cast. You can't choose one. If we HBO, we got endless banks. Yeah,
HBO. HBO be like Interscope.
You feel me? We get rid of one new show, we bring in another classic. And if that don't work, we bring in another classic. We give you classics after classics after classics, nigga.
I try telling people, I thoroughly try explaining this. I said, you've got to understand, at one point, HBO had both The Wire and The Sopranos going back to back.
And not just so that, they had True Blood. They had...
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. When one season of the series would end, they just follow it up with the other one. That's just how it worked.
I mean, when it comes to the women shows, it went from Sex in the City to Girls to Insecure to Euphoria, back to back to back like that. They had Six Feet Under. They had True Blood, The Wire, Sopranos, The Chris Rock Show, Real Sports, Real Time.
Yeah. Yeah. It's HBO.
Yeah.
HBO's Death Row.
Exactly. They got Last of Us now. Like, dude, that's their biggest show now.
Right.
Game of Thrones. Shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're Death Row. Don't mess with HBO.
Nah.
But don't doubt Showtime and what else? Showtime and Stars. They got good shows too.
Yeah, they definitely do.
And FX. And ABC with Abbott Elementary. Well, I finally caught up with Abbott Elementary, by the way.
And Staples.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, oh, yeah, what's her name? Shirley Lee Ralph. That's her name, right? Shirley Lee Ralph?
Cheryl Lee Ralph.
Shirley Lee Ralph. Yeah, she's going to sing American and Beautiful at the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah,
give a round of applause for that. So we got Rihanna, and we got Shirley Lee Ralph.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and I guess Anita Baker is going to sing the national anthem at the Niners Eagles game.
Okay.
Yeah.
I guess that's where we start off with right now.
Playoffs.
Doing a whole recap.
Right. And I've been waiting, baby.
So playoffs. What was the divisional round? Started off with the Chiefs and the Jags, and it was actually closer than I thought it was going to be. Even though I picked the Jags just off of, hey, they kind of hot. Let's see if they can ride it.
Yeah.
And then we got to the third quarter, and I was like, it's actually not close than I expected it to be. Okay. Yeah,
the reason why is Patrick Mahomes got injured in the first half.
Yeah, and then came back in, put the team on his back, and then that was pretty much that.
Yeah, but that nigga was wilding for playing on that bad ankle, dog. And it's a high ankle sprain. And I was just like, this nigga playing like Boobie Myers right now. Andy Reid better chill. You're going to ruin my football career. Y'all seen Friday Night Lights.
Physically, yeah. Financially, that nigga already said.
Of course.
Like, $5 million? Some things, some things I just, I'm not going to say you let slide, but you just say, I understand.
Oh, I completely
There's incentives understand. In that contract.
Mm-hmm, that's why.
And not every contract is treated the same.
Mm-hmm, that's I why understand. Was like, no, I'm playing. And he didn't do the scrambling. He was in the pocket. And kudos to his line. They protected him. He should be glad it was the Jaguars and not the fucking Bengals or the Niners or the Cowboys. Like, anyone with a top 10 defense, they would have got his ass. It would have been worse. But,
Yeah. So Chiefs they won. Handled that. They're going to the AFC title game. The game following that is was Eagles and Giants. I don't even know if you consider that a game. I'm just really glad that through it, Britt had came back and was like, let's have a date night in. And I said, sure. And by the time I looked up at the score, it was 28-0.
In the first half.
Yes.
In the first half.
No, Britt's the real MVP. I have to sit through that. It was awesome.
So hopefully you don't have to go through that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that was an ass whooping.
Bradley was an ass whooping. That was a statement because media was low-key talking shit about the Eagles, saying, I don't know if they're the same team. The Giants are hot beating the Vikings and blah, 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 blah. And Jalen Hurts and all of them were like, nigga.
No.
Curb stomped them niggas. Steamrolled them niggas. And I was like, well, that's that on that.
Yep.
We're both wrong.
That's how that works.
We're both wrong. Well, I was right. On Kansas City, and you were right about the Eagles. So, we're both
I wasn't picking on Giants.
Yeah.
And then
I just did it because you picked the Jaguars. So I was like, I'll just pick the Giants. Fuck it. Just make it even it out to see what happens. Boy, we were wrong.
Well, I'll write up about it. You wrong just for being wrong. I don't know why you would just be like, oh, I'm going to go disagree. What the fuck? This ain't fucking undisputed. What the hell wrong with you?
That's what they do on inside the NFL. Oh, I'm speaking because Ray Lewis picked that person or Julian Edelman picked that. I was going to do that. Fuck it.
I picked that. I can say I picked the Jags. I was wrong, but I picked the Jags just because they were riding off a hot hand coming back. You never know. You were just like, oh, you picked the Eagles? I'll just pick the Giants. Okay, for what? You picked the Eagles. What? But then we go to the next day. It was Cincy and the Bills. We finally got that game, which was supposed to be played in Week 17, that Monday nighter. Beyond the game, which we'll get to, I still feel very uncomfortable with how they were parading.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
But he was just he was in the fucking in the suite, and you couldn't even see his ass because of the fucking blizzard. You could barely see him wave.
I forgot homeboy was doing the play-by-play, and he was like, Romo. It was just a few weeks ago. No, not Romo. It was the other guy. The guy that actually does the play-by-play. Romo commentates, the play-by-play guy. It's been so... It's been a few weeks since that fateful night, but you see DeMar Hamlin, and it's such a triumphant story. And I was like, triumphant story? This nigga gonna die. What the fuck are you talking about, triumphant story?
What kind of shit is that?
That's my whole problem with this whole scenario and this situation. It's just like, because he's alive, it's like, oh, look at, he's a warrior. The football's great. It's like, this nigga gonna die. Like, what are you talking about? This ain't triumphant.
This nigga died.
He did. He died on the field, and they resuscitated him back. Which again, that's not his fault. All glory to God. Praise be to DeMar Hamlin. But how everybody else? Oh, I'm sorry, bro. Everybody else is talking about this shit. It's disgusting. Like it's like they looking for every reason to just parade him around like it's Easter.
I don't know if you saw the other conspiracy theories going on right now on Twitter. They think
he's dead and that he's really dead. Yeah, and they basically did the Gucci Mane situation. Yeah,
and some of them really believe it because you didn't really get a good look at him and he's dead. Like nigga, what? Anyway, when we go back to the game, Bengals are them.
Yeah.
Romo was trying his hardest. He was on Josh Allen's nuts the entire game. He was calling the Bills a dynasty. And I'm like, Romo, these niggas haven't won shit. Like, the fuck?
Yeah. That's the problem with how the commentary goes these days. Mm-hmm. You just want to find a way to... People are doing everything to get ahead of the upcoming narrative or what is going to be manifested into existence. Mm-hmm. They want to try to get ahead of it. And what the perfect way to get ahead of it is, They basically just talk out their ass.
Yeah, like, but Romo is dead ass serious. That's the crazy thing about it. It wasn't just this game. He's been saying it all season. Every time he commented it's a Bills game, he's calling them a dynasty. Like, my nigga.
Right, and it's like, you're not a dynasty for winning a playoff game every year. That's not a dynasty.
Yeah, and losing in the AFC Championship. That's not a dynasty. It's called choking. The fuck?
It's not how that works.
And plus, the Bills are notorious for choking. 4 times straight. They're a dynasty in their own right for the wrong reasons.
Yeah, Joe Burrow is him. He's Timothy.
Yeah, they talking shit to the Kansas City.
I said when he came out, I was like, all he needs is an O-line. I was like, they're going to sacrifice him now, but they at least got the toys for him to play with, and then they'll get a decent line to, just cover for it. Well, that's what they've done.
Yeah, and they're talking cash shit to Kansas City right now. Kansas City's going in there as the underdogs. It's a home game for them. And I'm like, and they're talking cash, and they call it Barrowhead, not Arrowhead, but Barrowhead. And they disrespecting Patrick Mahomes. And I'm just like, I'm feeling disrespected.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. I don't feel like the underdog situation for the teams is that far off, because they did go into Arrowhead last year and they did win.
Yeah, they did. So and they did during they did.
So that's not the far-fetched. What's far-fetched is how everybody all of a sudden, and there's no disrespect to Joe Burrow, he ain't do nothing wrong, but all of a sudden now, it's Joe Burrow and Patrick Mahomes is
trash.
Oh, well, he's a close second. It's like, this motherfucker almost threw for, he did throw for another 5,000 yard year. Like,
this is his fifth year in the AFC Championship, and his fifth year in football, in the National Football League. He's in the AFC Championship, right. And he's been in the Super Bowl twice. The fuck you? Like, and it makes me want to pull for them, like out of principle. Like, man, fuck y'all niggas.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Out of principle. Like, you know who the fuck Patrick Mahomes is? And I'm watching the media. Yeah.
But I'll never do that. So fuck them niggas.
I mean, obviously. You want them niggas to die slow. I get you.
And that's like you saying, oh, they talking crazy about Geno Smith. You know what? I'm going to root for them. Yeah, that's what that is.
Oh,
yeah, so don't you?
No.
Exactly. So watch what you say.
I'm not saying
watch
you.
Watch what you say. Watch how you say it.
I'm speaking for myself.
Okay.
But now let's get to the main event. Oh, my God. It was a Super Bowl out here in the Bay Area. It was a feeling out here, my nigga, with the Niners and Cowboys. Like, it was a feeling I have not felt in a long time. And it was just like, it was like something in the air. Even when I was downtown, there was like a feeling in the air. It was like, yo, this ain't even the Super Bowl. This is real beef.
Nigga, it's Niners and Cowboys.
I know.
That's why I be confused as fuck with you when you be like, oh, yeah, the Cowboys, I just don't like their fans. But them Seahawks, I'm like, nigga, fuck the Seahawks. Nigga, the Cowboys and the Niners is the real beef. What are you talking about?
My homegirl told me I would rather lose to the Seahawks 5,000 times than to ever lose to the Cowboys.
Yeah, that's why I'm like, I don't think you fully grasped and understand the rivalry. I think you picked it up in the after...
The
aftertones of when Terrell Owens was just going on the star, and it really didn't mean much in the grand scheme of things because it wasn't taking place in the playoffs. No, I felt that shit in the 90s when I was a little kid, and just, people was beefing my family back and forth about Cowboys and Niners.
It restored the feeling, I can tell you that. It restored
it. Yeah, because it's been 2 years in a row now.
Yeah, this one, and this time it was at Levi's. It would be one thing if it was back at AT&T Stadium, but we back in Levi's? Oh,
yeah. Boy.
And it was a defensive masterclass on both sides.
Yeah, that was a great game. I think Purdy had the game that I was expecting him to have in the sense of at some point he's going to end up looking like a rookie, which isn't a bad thing. He's a rookie. Mm-hmm. And he's played 6 or 7 games, so it's not to talk down on him. It's just to say, okay, he looked how I was expecting. The Cowboys' defense looked exactly how I expected it because, again, I got certain players on my teams that's just what they've been doing. Mike Parsons did that shit all year.
Mm-hmm.
However, Dak Prescott.
He's playing like a...
Somebody did this.
You know the phrase, niggas just be talking themselves out the pussy.
That's Dak Prescott.
All Dak had to do was not talk himself out the pussy. He didn't even have to have that spectacular game he had against the Bucks. All he had to do was just not turn the ball over. And then he continued to turn the ball over.
He did it twice. He almost threw a pick six at the end.
Like, yeah, one of them, he threw it to Ward.
Yeah.
He basically threw it to Ward. Yeah.
It tipped, and then it went to Warner. But yeah.
No, not that one. Not that one. It was when
that was the other nigga. That was
That one where he basically he's like, oh, here, throw it. Here you go. Here's a gimme.
Literally. And oh, man, I just remember what one of my customers, because he was a Cowboy fan, and he kept telling me like, yeah, man, y'all ain't gonna cover CD Lamb. Y'all gonna cover CD Lamb, and then we covered CD Lamb.
No, you covered everybody else around CD Lamb. CD Lamb actually had a tremendous game.
He did. That's what I've noticed, is that Niners always cover. We make sure the other wide, the star wide receiver, he gets himself a game, but we cover everybody else. It's like you really have to rely on that wide receiver. We did that to Cooper Kupp. We did that to everybody. I just noticed that.
The star receiver is always going to have that game, but it's equalizing everything else. Mm-hmm. Tony Pollard went down, and he broke his ankle or his leg?
Pretty much the same injury that Patrick Mahomes has. It was the same injury.
Yeah. And then what else happened? There was
what?
That motherfucker, the kicker. Just when we thought it was just 1 week, this motherfucker goes up after they score a touchdown, and the PAT, forget the fact that the PAT got blocked. Look at the trajectory of where that ball was going before it got
blocked. It was going to wide left. It wasn't going to go. It wasn't going
to go wide left. That shit was going to McCarthy Ranch. That's where that motherfucker was going.
What's worse is that Jerry Jones went out there and gave him a pep talk.
Yeah.
Kick left. But then he was on point the rest of the game. He was on point the rest of the game. But Dak was playing like how you call him.
Yeah. But to go back to Maha real quick, didn't it just feel like low-key bullying, the fact that this motherfucker was out there trying to kick and y'all motherfuckers' defense was just out there around his head and shit, talking shit to him in the pregame? Like, it's one thing to do it to a guy that's got sued up either on offense or defense, but you going after the kicker now, like, come on, man. Come on.
Bully ball.
So have some self-respect.
Have some respect, Tasha. I just lost love in my life.
Oh, yeah. What happened to your chair? There's powerful niggardry at work, Ken.
That's basically how that went.
Yeah.
Overall, just great game. That game restored the feeling, like you said.
And that catch by Kittle, that clutch-ass catch by Kittle, that was fire. And then after that, the Dallas defense just got tired, and then Kyle smelled blood and was like, kill him, and just ran the ball up their ass. They shut down Christian McCaffrey. Elijah Mitchell got his yards, but all in all, we got the job done. And then that last play. First it was
– last play.
Last year it was, oh, my God. That was, oh, my God. And then – this what we're gonna call it.
This year is
what kind of shit is that?
Yeah, that's what we're gonna. Because they had this time they had time to do a Hail Mary, so then they just scattered all around the field for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. Ezekiel Elliott was the center, and the even the ref was like, Ezekiel Elliott is not eligible. Okay, yeah. And then I'm just defense all scattered around, even looking confused, like, all right, then Kyle Shanahan called timeout. Like, are they really about to do this? They came back out like, yeah, they're all about to do this. All right. Zeke
snapped that ball, and all you heard from Zeke was,
he got bulldozed, and then Dak threw the ball, and then Ward speared old boy. Then that was the game.
I've said this time and time again. I said, the Raiders will always find a new way to lose that is just so demoralizing that if you're not used to it, it's going to break your spirit into how you root for football.
Yeah.
When the Cowboys find new ways to lose, it's just fucking hilarious.
It's just like...
It's hot.
And then what made it worse, I don't know how much worse it can get, but the Cowboys Twitter feed was putting all the blame on Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott, that was some wild shit.
Yeah, no, it definitely was.
No sports organization would ever do that to their star player. Can you imagine the Lakers doing that with LeBron if he missed a fucking wide open shot?
My nigga, put it in this perspective. How did the kicker get the pep talk, but they was all talking down on the quarterback after the game? That, put it in that perspective. That's all you need to know.
Dak Prescott's in hell. And then after that, his girl broke up with him, and his girlfriend broke up. And just looking on the ESPN, they didn't even talk about the Niners winning. They were going like, Dak is trash. That's all they kept talking about on NFL Network, on ESPN, on FS1. They all collectively said, yeah, Dak Prescott, he ain't him. For how many years has he been there? For like what, 7 years? 7 seasons?
7 years. 7 years, yeah.
Only one playoff win or two playoff wins? And the thing is, I knew after that Bucks game, I was like, yeah, he used up all his juice. He gonna fuck up this time. He gonna fuck up the Niner game. And you said this wasn't you told me this wasn't the worst game you've seen him.
No. God, no.
What was the worst one you ever seen him play?
He cost me so many fucking games in fantasy. What are you talking about?
Yeah, so this is personal for you. Yeah, you would know. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not a Cowboys fan by any stretch, but, you know, I had vested interest in his play. He cost me so many fucking games. This wasn't even close to being one of his worst ones.
Well, will you take him next season?
4 picks in one game.
He led the league in interceptions. Like, damn.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
That's why I overhauled, I already had Jalen Hurts in one fantasy league. The other one, I overhauled everything. I said, get these motherfuckers out of here. I need Jalen Hurts. I need A.J. Brown.
Yeah,
that's why I've been so high on the Eagles. I have vested interest. It ain't just like I'm trying to go at teams with the hype or anything. It's just I have seen the production. Oh, by the way, and the big little homie Mike Clay is their special teams coordinator.
Okay.
So yeah, I got though from that perspective, there's a vested interest in the Eagles. That's no, I don't just be talking like it's the Eagles, like proper hype. Not you, but. You know, several people be like, oh, it's because you watch the highlights.
No.
I watch real time.
I got red zone, nigga.
Exactly.
I got fantasy implications. I see everything.
Exactly. Fuck them highlights, nigga. I got fantasy money on the line, bitches.
But now we in championship weekend. By the time y'all hear this, it will be championship weekend. And we got in the AFC, it is the Bengals and Chiefs.
And honestly, don't give a fuck. I don't care.
Oh, wow. You don't care? You don't care who wins on that game?
I'm actually going to go to sleep in the first half of that game.
Well, it's the second game, so.
Exactly.
Oh, wow. Well, exactly. You don't care.
The only game I care about is the NFC game.
That's the first game. And that's the first game. Well, if I can make my choice. I'm going for Kansas City. Again, I'm not going in. I'm not going against Patrick Mahomes until otherwise. So that's that.
Yeah, Patrick Mahomes, the quarterback, still top tiers, top elite.
Mm-hmm.
Bengals have shown, though, they can get it done.
3 times.
So I'll rock with the Bengals. I think the Bengals are going back to the Super Bowl.
Man, Joe Burrow taking the – if they go back to the Super Bowl, I'll be mad again for Bengal fans. You had Marvin Harris as your coach for decades.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I will say this. If the Chiefs do go, there is a silver lining.
What do you mean?
Which is – so the Chiefs go, Patrick Mahomes, obviously black quarterback in the Super Bowl. If the Eagles beat the Niners, Jalen Hurts, black quarterback. This will be the first time in NFL history two black quarterbacks will be in the Super Bowl.
Nice.
Number one, that deserves an applause real quick.
If it happens.
If that takes place. And on the same token, if that takes place, it also deserves...
Move this man!
Like, y'all just figuring out that black players can play quarterback, like...
Yeah,
it took now for y'all to overhaul how the quarterback position looks. You know, it wasn't enough for you seeing, you know, quarterbacks getting just thrown in the damn dirt throughout all the years to finally say, maybe we should add mobility to their skill set. How about that?
Yeah, maybe. Well, on that side, when it comes to the Niners and Eagles, you already know. Bang, bang. Yeah, that'll be nice and all, but no, boy. Bang, bang, nigga.
Yeah, I think, honestly, I can't call it. I think it's a toss-up. I don't know how it's going to go.
The number one offense. Number one offense versus the number one defense. It's like the immovable, the unstoppable force versus the immovable the object. It's literally the game we've all been waiting for. This feels like.
And here's the thing. Here's the thing. I don't even know if it's going to come down to that. I don't know what the weather's going to be. I don't know if it's snowing over there.
It's not going to be snowing. They said it's just going to be cold.
No, yeah, so that's I genuinely don't know. That's going to be one hell of a. All I know is that Eagles on paper look like they have a slight advantage. Mm-hmm. Only for the simple fact that the Niners got the number one defense. Nobody's taking that away from them. But you also got to factor in how does the secondary look in the playoffs. And the Eagles secondary is far more superior than the 49ers secondary.
It all comes down to coaching at the end of the day. That's what it all comes down to.
Yeah. And on top of that, the Eagles also do have four players who have recorded over 10 sacks this year. That's a lot to overcome. And again, I'm not trying to dismay Purdy. I think he's had a tremendous opening game career in the NFL, especially considered they need to get rid of that name, Mr. Irrelevant. As far as I'm concerned, your name called off in the NFL draft, you're not irrelevant. But just what he is going to be looking like he's going up against, I would give the slight edge to the Eagles. But again, it's a toss up. I can't call it at all.
Well, I'm going for my Niners, and I'm just, like I said, it's bang bang. This is going to be a war, or it could be a low scoring game, maybe. Just like the Cowboy.
Well, it's gonna be a war either way.
Oh yeah,
high scoring, low scoring. It's gonna be a war.
Yeah, and everyone's counting out Brock Purdy. You know who counted out both Brock Purdy and Jalen Hurts? You know who counted them out? Nick Saban told Brock Purdy to his face, "You're short. You're average height. You don't got the arm." And he told Jalen Hurts right before the national championship, "Yeah, I don't think you can handle the pressure." And sat him. And now they're both in the NFC Championship. They should all have an interview. They should all have an interview with Nick Saban and Brock and Jalen should just sit there and stare at him. Just don't say nothing. Just stare at him.
Yeah.
Shit.
What think?
MVP and the Rookie of the Year. How about that? Damn. The MVP and arguably the Rookie of the Year. I don't know if Brock's going to get it, but still.
I wouldn't give it to Brock only because Brock didn't play that. He didn't play that.
Oh, yeah, me neither, brother. Actually, the awards came out for it, like the nominations, and he's nominated for Rookie of the Year. And I'm just like, oh, wow, I guess.
Yeah, see, again, I want to make it perfectly clear. This is not taking anything away from Brock Purdy because all you can do is go behind, go on the field and play the snaps. So this has nothing to do with him. This is that overhyped shit I'd be talking about where you don't examine the overall field of what the players who played basically from game one did throughout the course of the season.
Yeah.
I know you hate the Seahawks, but Kenneth Walker III was a boy this year.
He was.
As a rookie. Who else they had before he went down? Bryce Hall for the Jets. Pierce for the Texans before he went down. There were just so many guys that they just came in from jump and they
made their claims. Oh boy, the Steelers. Oh boy, and the Steelers who took over and almost took them to the playoffs.
Yeah.
Yeah, Pickett. There you go. Yeah, Pickett.
Right.
You know? But yeah, and also the other nomination that came out was Comeback Player of the Year, and they had Christian McCaffrey, Saquon Barkley, and Geno Smith. And now. Yeah. Everyone's looking at me crazy when I keep saying that Geno Smith needs to win that award, and they're just like, "No, because he's not really a comeback. Maybe most improved player, but he ain't doing a comeback."
Come I'm
like,
that nigga ain't started a game in fucking 6 years. What are you talking about?
I keep trying to tell these niggas this shit, like, bro. Like, I'm not even saying this shit. This nigga was on the bench for life. For life, he went from being the number one pick for the Jets. And then getting kicked off and riding the bench with the Eagles. And then who else was he on? On the Eagles, the Ravens.
No, not the number one pick. Geno was the second round.
Okay, well, whatever. He was like that man on the Jets. And then he was riding the bench for all these years because he was injured prone and shit like that. And then they trade away Russell Wilson. And then he played and he outplayed old boy in training camp. And then he led the fucking Seahawks to a wild card. Like, I know it's injury. I know Christian McCaffrey came back from injury. Same with Saquon Barkley. I guess that's what comeback player of the year is based off injury. But it's Geno Smith. Like, come on.
Well, it's not traditionally – it's not – the core isn't based on injury. But as the years have gone by, the focal point has been that. But in this case, you don't need an injury. The motherfucker came out and threw for 4,000 yards and 30 touchdowns. And last year, he wasn't even close to that. So, no. Yeah, that's the comeback player of the year.
By far. Like, come on now. Give some respect to Geno. Yeah. Even Niner fans are like, yo, he's trash. Like, no. I'm a fan of football at the end of the day. And Geno Smith coming back, and I like Geno Smith. So, yeah, the fuck?
Yeah.
Shit. But, yeah, man, it's going to be exciting by the end of Sunday, at Sunday night, right at probably like around 9 o'clock or 8 o'clock, whatever time, we're going to know who's going to be playing in the Super Bowl. We're going to know who's going to Arizona. Arizona. But, yeah. I keep seeing Rihanna. Every time when I was getting stressed out about the Niners and Cowboys, I was getting stressed out about it, they show that Rihanna commercial, and I'm like, everything's going to be fine.
That's one way to put it.
You know, so we're going to see.
Yeah. Shannon Sharp didn't think everything was going to be fine. In fact, Shannon Sharp was looking at the Memphis Grizzlies and said,
right. And I've been waiting, baby.
He showed up with a $3,000 damn goddamn cardigan and said, nah, I want all that smoke, baby. You come here, bring that smoke right now, baby. So, somebody on Twitter said, he said, boy, Lockjaw over there going crazy. Yeah, it's very interesting.
Yeah.
A very interesting interaction, media presence. Athletes, but the media presence was a former pro athlete himself and not just some guy that was just in the league. We're talking about a Hall of Fame inducted athlete. So
was he a tight end or wide receiver? Shannon Sharp.
Tight end.
Okay, yeah.
Tight end.
Yeah.
His brother was receiver.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah. That was much to do about nothing. That was just a situation where you're doing some trash talking. According to the reports, one person thinks he could talk to you some way, and you used to be the king of trash talking in your field, so you just got to let me know. I don't give a damn who you are or how old you are. You ain't gonna talk to me no kind of way. And it just...
And that,
going that way. I will say this, if that actually led to the Lakers getting their shit together and coming back to finish out the deal and win that game, oh boy, round of applause on for Shay Shay. That sparks some shit up, boy.
And then that picture of him like looking to the side, looking like the Rock and shit. I was like, wow. That was like the picture perfect picture right there. I was like, wow.
Somebody said that's exactly how the niggas used to look when they were going off of SmackDown for the night.
Yeah. That's exactly how they used to look. Dead on. Yeah. Looking to the side, looking up the ramp and shit at the adversary and shit. That's exactly how the Rock posed.
Motherfucking Jay on the back. My God, there's carnage. There will be carnage to pay this Sunday at pay-per-view.
Royal Rumble is Saturday, by the way. Just let you know.
So, oh, yeah.
Yeah, so you want to watch it. Well, you don't care about the Royal Rumble? Yeah. That's the playoffs.
Nigga, I have a child on the way. I have things I have to do.
It's at 5 o'clock. I'm just letting you know shit.
Bro, I got things I got, like, I understand, but there is a lot to do in such a short amount of time.
Yeah, I know. I'm just giving you a time frame.
I understand. I get it. But in any other time, but I'm saying that's an old other thing too. Like, just you realize having a kid is going to be a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're in the actual shoes of having a kid and realize, oh, this shit is a lot.
You are having a child.
Yeah. Like, shit, we 25 weeks in now. Like, the clock is ticking. That little human is going to be here by the time I blink tomorrow. So I know what you're saying time frame wise, but it's just every time I blink, it's like
tick tick.
There's always something to do. True. Put it that way.
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah. Of course. But yeah, Shannon Sharp.
But it's good.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, Shannon Sharp. That shit was hilarious.
But, yeah, that was comedy. While we stay on the topic of Memphis, real quick, fuck the police.
Again,
those five officers.
Yeah.
Rest in peace to who was it, Tyree Alexander? Tyree Nichols.
Tyree Nichols, yeah.
Yeah. 29-year-old man. minding his fucking business, pulled over in a traffic stop. I don't know why the emphasis has been put on the fact that the officers are black when we have seen time and time again that it don't matter what the color or creed is of the officers.
They're going to beat your ass. I think this is the first time.
Shoot your ass.
This is the first time we've seen like all black cops do this to another black person. I think that's what it comes down to.
From that perspective, sure, but I mean, with it being Memphis, them niggas was moving around like it was 1-2 Mafia.
Literally. Like, they had a, like, they really just, and I just didn't understand. Like, y'all know, it's just like, you know, we can see you, right? Like, like, you know, you niggas, right? You ain't white. If you were white, footage wouldn't have came out. But you black, they're going to throw you.
Oh, no, that footage was going to come out regardless.
Oh, my God.
But it was just simple, like, it was just the simple fact that, you know, the audacity of the whole situation.
Yeah.
You got that going on. You got the two shootings going on
out here in California.
In California, both in SoCal and legitimately 30 minutes away from Britain, up here in the peninsula area.
Yeah.
I forgot where the fuck it even took place. You got a 29-year-old woman posing as a high school student so that way she could recruit kids for sex trafficking.
What the fuck?
Yeah, like I don't know if you heard the story. Like, it makes you want to laugh at first, but when you find out why she was even there,
my homegirl,
she made it there four days, was in school, and the scary part of it is she got kids' numbers.
Wow.
So it's like, so who's watching? Like, honestly, there's some stuff I've seen in the past since we've done this show over the past 6.5-7 years, where you know the severity of it. And it's like, damn, that's some crazy shit. This world's a fucked up place. I'm going to tell you right now, these past few months, when I see stuff like this with a child on the way, my mind is alerted in a completely different way now. Every single time I hear it, I'm like, I wish a motherfucker would.
Mm-hmm.
I wish a motherfucker would.
Of course, man. As a father-to-be, I wish a motherfucker would. Like, shit.
It's ridiculous. It's a crazy... crazy situations out here in the world, man. It's
an evil world we live in.
Absolutely.
Yeah, man.
So rest in peace to Tyre Nichols. Prayers and condolences, obviously, to his family.
And those cops are
going to go and extend. They're all charged for murder.
Mm-hmm.
I'm even going to extend a condolences and prayers up to the officers' families. Because as fucked up as their actions are, you know the families are going to end up paying for it in society.
Yep.
And they didn't do anything wrong.
At all.
So definitely want to lend support to them.
Mm-hmm.
It's just crazy, crazy.
It's fucked up.
On the other side of court, though, this motherfucking Flo Rida.
Man, round of applause for that black man.
Oh, my God. This is the type of nigga where it's tax season and he like... if you give me your tax return, I can flip that money for you.
That boy sold out, and he ain't nothing back.
Man, you know what's funny? I was telling Britt the other night. At one point, remember, Slip and Slide had Trick Daddy, Trina, Rick Ross, Plies, and Flo Rida all on the same roster.
Wow. Wow.
All of them were on the roster at the same time.
And Flo Rida found his lane, and he ain't never looked back. Never,
absolutely,
ever. And I've never been mad at him for it, because he stayed his lane, and he was true to it. And I'm like, you know what? Yeah. Him and Pitbull found their lane, and they never looked back. And they made millions upon their music. When you go to the bar and club, you will hear one Flo Rida, at least one Flo Rida song, and it will most likely be Low with two T.
Yeah.
Same right. With Pitbull. Like,
so for those who don't know, Flo Rida, he invested in the Celsius energy drink. And I believe it was something to the quarter of, you know, $30,000. Then Coca-Cola bought the company out.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, ching ching.
Yeah.
And then when it was time for him to come collect, they was basically like, oh, you know, just giving him the runaround. And I think they just had to just pay a return based off of $30,000. Not necessarily the $30,000, but, you know, something equivalent to what $30,000 is going to be.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, since y'all want to play these games, huh? Well, let's go to court. Them motherfuckers had to go from paying the equivalent of what that $30,000 return was going to be to $82 million.
What kind of shit is that?
Dollars.
Dollars.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. If I'm Flo Rida, I'm rapping again.
And then after that, when they did the press conference, he drank the soda again. Like, ah, oh, this is so good. Yeah. They were in favor of him. $82 million.
I just thought throughout the whole court process, I just thought it was funny. They were playing Flo Rida lyrics. I thought that shit was hilarious. I said, what evidence is this going to provide for you? What is this going to do for you?
You're in the court. Are you the apple bottom jeans, boots with the fur?
No, it's like, can you imagine them trying to break down lyrical content from "You Spin My Head Right Round, Right Round,
Round"? Or maybe you a wild one. Man, we'll do a versus they used to be a versus with Flo Rida and Pitbull, man. I'll pay for that.
Absolutely.
They all got both of absolutely. Them. Absolutely. So.
Oh, yeah.
Damn.
You know what's funny too is it's only the people who aren't accustomed and I want to say in tune with the culture that always got something slick to say about Flo Rida. But if you ask people that are within the culture, they're like, "What's so funny? We fuck with Flo Rida."
Exactly.
What you laughing at?
And he can rap if he wants to. He can rap when he wants to. Him and Pitbull, they could rap if they want to. But they look at these shots like, "Nah, bro. I'm performing with Jennifer Lopez. I'm with Bad Bunny. I'm doing this, that, and the other thing. Why am I gonna do this?" You know,
absolutely.
You low fucking paid for this whole mansion right here. Shorty got low. I'm gonna hear that tonight when I go out after this shit. Guaranteed. Shout out to Flo Rida.
Give me a hell yeah.
Yeah, and then you got in the other courtroom.
Somebody did this.
How stupid you gotta be to do a drug trade-off in the fucking courtroom?
The fuck was Young Thug thinking, man? Lock that nigga up.
Oh, God!
Lock that nigga. what did Dr. Umar say? What did he say? Oh, man, what did he say?
He said, and some of y'all ain't ready to hear it. I am not going, what the fuck did he say? I am not going to be.
Yeah, go on.
Ah, shit. I can't remember because damn it.
He's really up like, fuck God! Somebody's going to go. Yeah. Go on the dirt.
Basically, I'm not going to be to reinstitutionalize them. Some of them are beyond saving. And you know what that means? We're going to have to take them out. Fuck God!
Some of these kids need to be put to sleep. Fuck God! And he
bruh. Yeah, man. I don't even know who homeboy's name. But the fact that he even had the audacity to walk up, drop the little Percocet.
Like it was
there
was cameras in the courtroom that we could see you, nigga.
Then did you see what happened after the fact? Not when they went and got the perk from Young Thug. Did you see what happened after the fact when they went to the co-defendant?
Well,
he realized the heat was on him, so then he started swallowing everything.
So did he overdose?
No, they. When you do that in the court of law, they're going to resuscitate your ass. They're going to make sure that they get every year out of you. They're going to get everything out of you, man.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Oh, fuck.
And see, no, the funny. The I don't necessarily if you want to call it the funny thing, just the most interesting thing, because again, this comes off after the cusp of Gunna being ostracized basically from hip hop as a whole since he's been released.
That's sad.
Lil Baby stopped following him. Lil Durk basically was giving him features back. Yeah. Does this qualify as snitching as far as what Young Thug did?
I mean, it was right in front of the fucking dude. It was literally right on camera. Like literally.
Yeah, but he still could have found a way to be like, "I'm not talking. I'm not giving you it." He didn't give me anything, and then they walked up to him, and he just, "Here you go." Does that count as snitching?
Technically, it does.
Oh, yeah. What happened to your chat? There is powerful niggardry at work here.
I mean, it's just crazy how the tables turn.
I know, but you know, Young Thug is everyone's favorite, and they're screaming free Young Thug after, you know, he's done some. The counts against him, the charges against him are pretty bad. Like, he
elected. They're bad, but they're not a death blow. I mean, the fact that he's not up for any types of murder, that is a key. Like, the problem is that his defense team could have worked with that if it wasn't for this one instance. Now I just don't understand why people be hurting them, the You make the defense team pay for your sins, man. For and it's sins. It's ridiculous.
You just couldn't help yourself. You just could not help yourself.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, you in jail. There's an endless supply of drugs. What are you doing? what are you doing?
Oh, man. No, but that one meme of Young Thug kind of, like, shooting that look at his lawyer hella quick, like,
yeah.
That shit's hella funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, man. But when it comes to what?
I was going to say, well, when it comes to sexcapades, Young Miami kind of told us why they call him P. Diddy.
Emphasis.
Right. And I've been waiting, baby.
Emphasis.
Who was she on the show with? She was on a show with Trina?
Yeah. Emphasis on P.
Yeah.
She likes getting pissed on. That's what it just comes down to.
Yeah, I mean, that's none. To me, that's not really an issue. Like, whatever. I do my best not to kink shame. There's certain things that I'll side eye and I'll like look at crazy. But as long as I ain't I'm not in anybody's bedroom. I ain't really tripping off of that fact. What I will say though is that R. Kelly definitely was in the wrong era.
So, new music dropped.
Oh, yeah. There's powerful niggardry at work.
Some music dropped. Just gonna segue at that.
No, we're not done. We're not done. We ain't done with this. No. No, we gonna sit with this the way that Young Miami likes to sit with.
No, Ice Spice dropped a new EP.
No, I ain't listening to no Ice Spice. I didn't listen to Lil Yachty, so I have nothing to talk about that. We are going to talk about this and oversharing and sexual capades, because I don't know if you also heard Gorilla saying she'd like to add cum to her French fries.
Ice Spice dropped it. Project is pretty good.
Yeah, so I sexcapades, huh?
I got nothing to say to this, man. I got nothing to say to that.
Somebody did this.
All right. I tried, people. There was some new music, though, and it actually is something that's going to lead. There's actually something that I think is a good topic. J. Cole made his reintroduction, or should I say his introduction into 2023. Coming off of some writer's block, decided to give the alley-oop up to an unknown producer by typing in J. Cole type beats. Found the beat, went to writing, got to work, and instead of putting it in the vault, DM'd the producer, sent him the track, and said, you should be able to put it on your YouTube page. That leads me to ask, is this something, a trend that you think is going to be going on in hip-hop now that one of the three-headed monsters made it viable?
Maybe, depending on it, depending on who wants to monetize this shit. Like, who's the guy? No one like J. Cole. Like, I can see Drake doing that. I don't know why. I can see Drake doing something like that. Like recording over the beat and then giving it to him and shit like that.
Yeah.
You know, I can see him doing that.
Honestly, I'm not going to put a name because I can't think of specific names. For me, this is just an overall something that could potentially happen with the industry. Mm-hmm. I can definitely see a situation where an artist reaches out to an up-and-coming producer or an up-and-coming artist, period, mm-hmm. and they do a full project together. Maybe not even like an album, but just an EP's worth of work together.
I can definitely see
something in the realms of that. Because here's the thing, collabing with somebody that you don't know on the internet, as for those who don't know, it's not that uncommon. In actuality, some groups have actually been formed that way.
Mm-hmm.
Most notoriously, the Cool Kids.
Yeah.
That's how Chuck English and Mikey Rocks met. They met, I believe, on MySpace, or if not one of the forums, and that's how the Cool Kids was born.
And what was that other group? What's that? Not Dreamhampton. What's that called? Brockhampton. Yeah, they were formed on the KTT forums, the Kanye to the forums. They were formed on that website. Yeah, they were formed on that. And Yeah. Same with fucking. Yeah, I can see that happening. Like Joe Budden, like I think he probably met. Danger Mouse. Remember Danger Mouse? So he made the Gray album.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's how he hooked up with what's his name, CeeLo, and they became became Lars Barkley and shit like that because of the internet. So yeah, it's been known, but like it hasn't been like that lately. So J. Cole's doing that. That's man, good job for him, man. That's some real shit. That's some real. Yeah,
it definitely is, just off the simple fact that he could have just put the track out and it wouldn't have been no credit, no nothing. You know what I mean? Just or a quick shout out, like, you know, oh, producer. But to go in, divulge and really explain. And the cool thing of it was J. Cole wasn't even one that explained the story. It was he sent in a text and he allowed the producer to share the text message.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I think that's a testament to hard work, dedication, but something that is most important throughout life in general is you just got to put yourself out there because you never know where it's going to lead you.
Because you know how many
everybody at some point, everybody at some point is going to need that luck. And just by putting yourself in the position to be lucky, that's a W in itself. So I think that's a great inspiration to up and coming acts, whether it be musically and basically any art, not just artistically, but you know, going political, education, just anything. As long as you put yourself out there, you'll actually be very surprised on what can happen. I don't want to. I don't like turning it around, flipping it on myself.
Mm-hmm.
Case in point, I'm one of those. All I want to do was see Don play college ball for free. Next thing I know, it turned into 4 years with the Raiders just because I was in the right place at the right time. Mm-hmm. You just got to go out and put yourself in a position where the impossible can be possible.
Exactly. And all he did was he just wrote a J. Cole type beat. That's all he wrote. And there's millions of those type of beats out there on YouTube. Millions of them. And J. Cole just so happened to search and saw it and felt it and wrote it, sent it to him and said, hey, it's on your YouTube page. And that put his stock up. That put the producer's stock up. You put money in my pocket. That's real nigga shit.
What's your favorite? What's your favorite type beats? Do you ever go on YouTube or anything and just put type beats? Like, do you ever do that as a listener?
Nah, I never thought about that.
I'm going to tell you my three favorite. My three favorites are Rick Ross type beat.
Oh wow! So
Nipsey Hussle type beat.
Mm.
And then finally, Justice League type beats.
That's pretty much like a Rick Ross type beat.
You would be very, very surprised how distinct those sounds actually are, and not in a negative way. How they're able to be recreated or mimicked, but just how they sound so amazing. Like, I know once upon a time it used to be, you know, people used to get made fun of for being on SoundCloud, or the type beats had this
stigma to it.
What's the term?
Stigma.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you. Had the stigma against it. But sometimes you don't want to listen to actual lyrics in the music, but you want to have that type of track just to vibe with, sit with, that feeling.
Mm-hmm.
You go to YouTube and just like, it's the same thing with lo-fi beats or chill beats or anything like that. Just put type beats in, you'll actually be very surprised at what YouTube playlists you'll be able to create out of those.
Mm-hmm.
Them shits really be hitting.
Yeah, I'm sure you do.
And that was another one, actually. Pop in DJ Quick type beats.
Oh, wow.
You will be shocked. You'll be very shocked.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Well, you know, shout out to J. Cole. Now,
absolutely. Man. Another round of applause, man.
Yeah.
Let's see. We got some stuff to. You got anything else major, or you want to do?
Oh, I was gonna say about Ice Spice because she was doing an interview.
Okay, right.
And she was doing an interview about, you know, herself, and she said the album that she listened to the most when she went to school was The Pimp a Butterfly. She said she listened to that religiously. And I was like,
I can see it. Like, you ever really listen to Munch? You could definitely tell some of Butterfly influences was in Munch.
Munch.
This dick ain't free, or you thought I was feeling you. That's an argument. That's an argument right there.
This dick ain't free, like. But nah, just to mention her EP, I went in there like, you know what? I'm gonna give her a shot. I talked about it before. I was kind of like really on her. I thought she was manufactured and shit. or whoever's manufacturing her, they're doing a great job. I really enjoyed her EP. Like, it was...
What's the EP called?
Like, with a question mark. You know?
Yeah.
Like, In Her Mood, that's fire. Princess Diana is fire. But the big hit on there is Gangsta Boo with little TJ, even though he's arrested and shit. Okay. Because it has the, what's it called? I Want a Girl remix as a sample.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, that shit fucking is fire. Bikini Bottom and acting a smoochie. Like,
wait, which I Need a Girl, part one or part two?
Part two.
Okay.
Yeah. And she spit that shit. That's a hit right there. That was one of those, like, this is actually quite good. I really enjoyed it. It's only six records because it's an EP, but yeah, it was a good introduction for her.
I'm telling you, those are the ones that creep up on you. That's why when you brought that up at the end of last year, I was like, well, let's see what happens.
How
she handles her 15 minutes of fame. Just, you never know. The same thing happened with Coi Leroy. Mm-hmm. I just saw Coi Leroy all over the place, and I was like, eh, I don't know, whatever. And then you actually hear a few of the tracks, and you're like, okay, she has a lane.
Players is the one, dog. Like, that's a hit. About to take another bite. Apple bottom making wanna fight. Like, that song's addicting as hell, man. That is catchy. Like, that's a good ass record right there. And then Lil Loggy dropped an album. Hold on, I'm trying to find the record. I'm trying to find, because he dropped it and everyone's talking about it. And I listened to it. I just hella forgot the fucking name, and I have to give him the credit. Cause he actually got out of his comfort zone. For once. He got out of his comfort zone. And he dropped, I'm on title. It is called Let's Start Here. And it's he takes the alternative sound. Like, it's all like rock influence, and you could tell he got a little Prince influence, a little bit of Donald Glover, a little bit of Kendrick, a little bit kind of. And it was cool. It's a lot better than Peekaboo. I can tell you that.
You know, I went back and listened to Peekaboo. I was way too hard on Peekaboo. Peekaboo slaps. I'm not even saying that's a joke around. Like, I went back and listened to it. The way Offset jumped on that fucking record. In hindsight now, I think it was more so just a simple fact of just like the peek-a-boo, 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 Pikachu.
Yeah.
Peek-a-boo, look at you. But then when I was actually going back and listening, I was like, oh, no, they had one there. That was my bad. My bad.
Nah, but you're a lot of you, man. It's called Let's Start Here. And honestly, don't be surprised by the end of the year, it's on a lot of people's best album of the year list. Like, it's...
Yeah, you know, that's how they are. I'm not taking anybody for those who like the record, because, like, I haven't listened to it. For those that like the record, you know, get down. But you know how that goes. Whenever anybody does something different and it gets those mixed reviews, they always end up on those lists where it's like, it was such a groundbreaking move for him to do it. And it was like, was it groundbreaking or was it just something
Experimenting.
The low key expect from some, experiment, but like he does come across as that artist that would experiment. I mean, remember his album cover. There was a lot of diversity in many different ways, but the album cover, that ended up being a whole damn trending topic for damn near 24 hours. Just also, like, he is that kind of artist.
And he literally said, like, I don't want to be just known as a mumble rapper. Like, I want to be taken serious as a musician. And he did a great job. He said Drake helped him a lot on the album. And yeah, it has some good tracks. Like Running Out of Time is good. That's the one. That's the one you should listen to. And then Drive Me Crazy is fire. Then Paint the Sky. I enjoyed it. It's cool, but it kind of wore out its welcome towards the end. But I need to listen to it again, maybe.
So, you know, Race Rummer's creeping out, and they got a single out.
Really?
They actually dropped right before New Year.
Oh wow. Like Ray Strummer,
Both Brothers? Well, it's a Ray Strummer record.
Oh, wow. I haven't heard that name. I'm just saying.
That's why I said Ray Strummer. Otherwise, I know, I'd just say Slim Jimmy.
It's been a while since I've heard that.
Or Sway Lee.
Yeah, it's been a while since I heard that name. Yeah. Well, okay.
Yes, they're creeping out. I'm noticing there's just a bunch of songs, one-off songs that are dropping from a lot of artists right now. So it's like, okay, the floodgates are starting to open up.
Yeah, just
I think everybody's waiting for the Super Bowl. I think once Rihanna is
the Grammys,
gets that performance Super Bowl and the Grammys. Out the way. Yeah, mm-hmm. I think once those two events, then everybody's gonna make that move. Be like, okay, it's clear.
Speaking of the Grammys, there's a rumor out there saying Hov's gonna perform there. It's like the first time he performed at the Grammys in years. That's interesting. But yeah, I think you're right. I think people are kind of waiting for the Grammys and waiting for the Super Bowl so they can really start dropping shit. And see what Rihanna's going to do. apparently there's a rumor out there saying that Beyonce has an announcement next month. So, well, that's going to be.
Yeah, you know, well, you know, people were mad at her performing in Dubai. Whatever.
They paid her $24 million. Was it $24 million? No, it was $32 million. They paid her $32 million just to perform for 1 hour. And she, you ain't saying nothing but her. She performed no new records. She didn't really dance like that. She had her, she had Blue Ivy singing up there. Shit, she, you ain't say nothing but a word.
Yeah. So they had she performed. Drake performed over the Apollo.
Yeah, that's
all. I gotta say, from how they appeared, both sets looked amazing. I mean, even to a 43 track set list, and he opened up with "Over My Dead Body."
Yeah, he went to the.
That let me know that it was one of those types of shows. Yeah. That was a show for the fan.
Yeah, kind of mad he didn't stream. I mean, it wasn't surprising. I was like, he should have streamed that show. That was like a once in a lifetime.
See, I think it got saved. I think maybe it's coming out as a special later.
Maybe. I mean, you would think
because the thing is, with something like that, and as well, not only well produced in terms of audio, but the sets.
Yeah, he actually had the
whole
set.
Setting with that, you don't want to just live stream that. You actually want to put something together because maybe at some point they cut in interviews while the performance is going.
Yeah, and he brought out Dipset, and like he brought out Cam'ron and Jim Jones and all that. Actually had on Drake, he had on Cam'ron's pink meat jacket and the bandana and shit like that. The boy was living the dream, and I was just like, okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, 21 came out. I saw a bunch of people upset with him. Man, he's just so. You can tell he just wants to live in eras where he didn't exist. And I was like, fam, do you understand? If I had Drake money, I'd be throwing a goddamn New Jack Swing party every damn month. And I'd be in the same damn outfits of every single guest I brought up. And then after that, I throw a G-Funk party. And then I dress up like Tupac every day. Like, what the fuck are you talking about, dude? Like. What are you talking about?
When you have money
that you can't even spend in your dreams, this is the shit you do.
That dude has side missions, and he even said, like, yeah, I'm gonna go on tour for the summer, and you know, if I'm bored, I'll probably drop another album. I don't know. I'll see how this shit goes. I was just like,
I told you that's how that contract works. He wake up and he'd be like, oh, I wanna drop the album now. Ain't nothing you can do about it. Here you go.
I mean, yeah, I said it. Like, he's gonna drop another album this year, most likely. You know, and then there's rumors that he's going to go on a stadium tour with 21 Savage, but then a report came out saying that they may have to cancel it because, I don't know, for reasons. Like just reasons. And I was just like, I guess. But, there was supposed to be a stadium tour, and I was just like, really, a stadium tour? Because me and you, I remember, like, last year, me, you, and Martin talked about the shit, if he could do a stadium tour. But with 21 Savage? I don't know.
No, I always said if he was going to do a stadium tour, he's got to do it with somebody that has a big of a name as him or a bigger name.
That's the only person you could probably go on a stadium tour with is Weeknd. That's not the only person. Who else?
It's not the only person.
No, I'm trying to think.
Fam, I'm just throwing it out there. I don't think it'll ever happen.
Yeah.
But if you said that Beyonce was doing her big ass show and Drake had a full 45 to 50 minute set,
oh my god,
you might have to throw that shit in palaces.
My god, yeah, that will sell.
You know what I'm saying? So it's
world.
Yeah, it's not just about rap. He has to go with a name that's as big, if not bigger, than him.
Yeah, that's why Jay-Z jumped on that trend. He saw what Justin Timberlake was going to drop the same time he was. He was just like, yo, I'm going on tour together. Let's do a stadium tour together. Justin Timberlake was like, okay, sold them bitches out. Candlestick, what's it called? The Soldier Field, all that shit.
Right.
Yeah.
And the thing was that the bigger name on that bill was Justin Timberlake.
Mm-hmm.
There was no... You know what I'm saying? There's nothing wrong with that. We know how the music game works in different sections around society. So,
yeah.
Got it? Understood. Ain't no shame in it. I think that's a big thing, too, is everybody wants to try to shame you if you need assistance. But think about how many times in life you can do something without anybody's assistance.
Exactly.
It don't work. It don't work that way.
And then there's another rumor, I guess, like Noriega came out on Breakfast Club, because I guess they're trying to find the next Angela Lee. So they're just trying to get these people to stand in place of her. But he heard in the streets, like, that's not even on Twitter, like, he heard from behind the scenes that Future is not happy with Drake with doing that 21 Savage album.
And I saw that too.
And I was just like, ooh. Because that's not the first time I heard rumors that him and Future were kind of like, they would have conflict and shit. So I'm like, huh, okay. So that's interesting. It's just a legend. I don't got no sources, but yeah.
I saw that. I saw that too. But I'm not putting any stock into it. Because Future and Drake are both petty.
Extreme.
So somebody would have said something at this point. No, saying that it can't happen. Not saying that it can't happen either. And that it's just, you know, just a rumor. But 2023, if the two people involved or parties involved ain't saying nothing,
it's still early.
I'm not rocking with it.
It's still, because I do remember. I don't know if you remember that.
Oh, I'm not. What I'm saying is, I'm not taking anything away from it.
Yeah.
I'm just saying I'm not operating out of it unless the parties are taking it or involving themselves and letting it be known. Motherfuckers be saying so many things left and right, and then next thing you know, it's like, what? We was at dinner.
I remember that clip that came out after What a Time to Be Alive came out, like a few months after What a Time to Be Alive came out, and they asked Future, like, oh, so what's your feelings on What a Time to Be Alive? That song
you did? Yeah, it never happened.
It never happened. And then after that, they never acknowledged that clip ever again. And then there was that other rumor that came out when Nothing Was the Same was about to come out, when he said some shit about Drake, and Drake took him off the tour for a split second. Mm-hmm. And then they resolved it. So they're on some frenemy shit. But there's that. Yeah, Kanye got married again, by the way, people.
Yeah, we covered that last week.
Oh, yeah, we did. Oh, yeah, because he was... because he was talking... He was being mad at the paparazzi for, like, filming him. I'm like, nigga, after everything you done did last year, nah.
Yeah.
Shut up. Yeah.
Quick mentions real quick. Big, big round of applause, De La Soul.
Mm-hmm.
De La Soul will be joining DSPs, finally.
Finally.
Finally, finally. Their full catalog is going to be on DSPs at some point by the end of March.
Yeah, that's already going to be major.
I can finally get that gosh damn Buddy remix and finally put it in the playlist.
Yeah, they put up the Magic Number. They finally put that up as a single.
Mm-hmm.
So that's already out.
Yeah.
But shout out to them, finally. All the shit with the record and with the record labels and shit, good for them.
Right. According to Carol Baskins, her husband, ex-husband, is alive. But if you ask anybody else, they ain't seen him. So I don't know how to. I don't know.
Yeah, they said they found him out in Costa. They found him out in Costa Rica, apparently.
He ain't give a sound bite. Mm-hmm. So the one person that's saying he's alive is the one person that's also being accused of feeding him to tigers. So I don't know what to do with that information.
She's the one that said that he's still alive?
Yeah. Carol Baskins is the one that said it.
Oh, wow.
And at this point, they still can't find, you know, there's no soundbite from him yet. So that's what I'm like, what do we do with that information, I guess?
I guess.
Yeah, that's all I got on my end. You got anything else to mention?
No, that was pretty much it. Like, music is slowly starting to come out. Little by little, you know, playoffs. It's we got the final four teams: Niners, Eagles.
What? I told y'all, motherfuckers, the Lakers, as constructed, weren't going to be a playoff team.
Oh yeah.
Then they started constructing, and they look pretty gosh damn good. Rui Hachimura.
Oh yeah, you got him now.
Small forward from the Wizards. He was already going to be in a situation where they weren't going to re-up on his rookie deal or extend the contract as a restricted free agent.
Mm-hmm.
Lakers have been on record saying we're not going to trade our two assets of a 2027 first round and a 2029 first round pick. We're just not going to do that. But for Rui, we'll give y'all niggas 3 second round picks over 6 years. I said, yo, hold up. Run that.
And I've been waiting, baby.
I keep telling niggas, and Rob, I trust.
Fuck it.
The second round picks aren't in consecutive years. There's a second round pick in this upcoming draft. It's another second round pick in, I think, the 2025 or 26 draft. And then the next one after that don't come to like the 2028 draft or something like that. And I'm like, that's all you had to give up? And Kendrick Nunn. Damn. I was so focused on picks, I didn't think about Kendrick Nunn. Mm. Of course, Kendrick Nunn, but Kendrick Nunn really wasn't in rotation like that outside just being in because players have been out.
Oh, wow.
But Adam Rui, and I think there might be one more move on the way.
Really?
I think there's another move that's going to be on the way by the time that deadline hits. Was it February 9th? The deadline is the Thursday right before the Super Bowl.
All-Star weekend?
No. It's the Thursday before the Super Bowl.
Oh, okay. Well, speaking of All-Star weekend, they're doing something very different for the All-Star weekend this year. They're gonna do the draft the day of the game, like literally right on the court. That's when they're gonna do it. That's gonna be
interesting. I think that's gonna be more funny than what they had anticipated. I think they took out drafting on TNT because they were like, "It's gonna hurt players' feelings." And now I'm looking at it like, so now it's just gonna be a grown ass, tall ass version of
BE
the playground.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
And there's still going to be a motherfucker that gets picked last, except now you're making him stand in front of everybody in the building.
Oh, my God.
Getting picked last.
That is going to be comedy. Oh, right.
Yeah. I'm all in. I don't know what violence they were trying to stop, but I'm here for the violence that they created. I'm all in.
Then you got the Kobe rule in the end, and that's more fuckery.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, rest in peace to Kobe. Been 3 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. But now
I was trying to figure out why I was having a tougher day yesterday. And then midway through the day I was like, oh yeah, I hate the 26th.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that makes sense now.
Yeah.
And then the damn power went out on two of the blocks.
Damn.
And guess which block was involved? That's right. My block.
The Scarface.
You want to talk about good preparation for fatherhood.
Mm-hmm.
I had to pack up a mother, a sister, and two dogs and make sure they got situated to go travel up and go stay with my grandparents for the night. You want to talk about putting all your ego to the side, making sure
that everybody else is good.
Yeah, I was like, 'cause where I'm going, the power's on. I could leave if I wanted to, but nah. I was not gonna hold them out, leave them out like that. And you know, as trying and as testing as that was,
I left the
house actually thinking like, wow, that was actually pretty good practice. I learned something about myself.
No, I can just see that. I can just see you going like, I don't know, pop, y'all niggas, y'all power's out.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Y'all power's out.
Yeah. Adios.
You know who did that shit? No more. No, not no more. Renee. Oh, and another note. I don't hear about what Justin Bieber did. How he sold his whole catalog.
Yeah, he sold his catalog for $200 million.
His whole catalog, publishing and all. And from what reports are saying, they're saying he took a major hit canceling all those tours. So he was striving for money. And not only did he sell it, Zaytoven sold his catalog too. The producer?
Yep.
I was like, whoa, okay.
So it's just time to capitalize. I mean, might as well. Tomorrow ain't guaranteed.
Yeah.
You might as well capitalize.
I wonder who the next big artist is going to sell their catalog. We're going to say Jay-Z, but Jay-Z, he owns his own shit, so he's good for life. Yeah, title owns this shit.
Yeah, well, it's not. Remember, it's not owning the masters; it's the publishing. So that's something completely different.
Yeah, you might sell that shit, maybe.
But publishing is completely different from owning the masters. So I don't know. I'm not mad at either one of them. Go get your bread. You have a time to push all the chips in and walk away with some coin. Go get it.
Yeah. Did we talk about the Michael Jackson shit? How they announced the movie and shit. Like last week.
I don't know, but hurry up and run it through.
I know. Yeah, they announced the Michael Jackson shit. Guy who did Bohemian Rhapsody, he's sponsoring it. The guy, what's his name? Antoine 4K? The guy who did Training Day, he's directing the movie. And yeah, it's gonna be called Michael. Michael! That's what it should be called in just big bold letters. Michael! And it's supposed to come out in 2025 or 24, whatever the case. So
okay,
we gonna see on that one.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Other than that, I'm good.
Sure.
Alright, this is episode, damn, I have a brain fart. What episode is this?
Boots
shut up.
Man.
This is a perfect example of how you be ready, you be good to go, and then as soon as you bring up Michael, you don't know shit about shit that's going on in life.
This is episode 288 of the most consistent podcast in the area.
Give me a hell, yeah. Says,
you could always follow me on Twitter at MrBuzzB4lowercase08. You could always follow us on Twitter at TLogicalSP. You can always follow us on Instagram and, of course, the Facebook. And don't forget to like, subscribe, leave comments, do all that jazz. Y'all know the deal. Y'all know what this is.
And on all social media, you can find me at JC No Funnits. Like Busby said, like, subscribe, comment everywhere you can find the podcast, whether that be YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, wherever the fuck y'all be listening or watching. We there now.
We there now.
It's up. Absolutely.
We everywhere. You ain't never there.
Yeah. Oh, and shout out to everybody that liked the photo shoot Britton I did for the month.
Oh, yeah. That shit was fire. That was fire. The knockout. Yeah. That shit was fire.
Yeah, I'm putting my name out there for graphic design. I'm gonna start putting my name out. I was behind all the graphic. Like, shout out to the photographer Christopher C. Lee. He came in. He did a good job on that. I'm gonna start putting my name out there for graphic design. I got a lot of good feedback with that. I'm gonna start charging motherfuckers.
I got some baby.
Yeah, run me some coin if you want a movie poster. But yeah, no, that was a cool thing. We're gonna start taking photos every single month, so that way we have that. And that's just not during the pregnancy. We're just gonna do it as a family moving forward. We're gonna do one photo every single month. We're gonna come in our place. You just gonna start seeing motherfucking movie posters. Like, damn, when this movie come out? And it's like, it's exclusive, player. This is exclusive.
On Tubi. Exclusive on Tubi.
Yeah. Listen.
No.
Listen.
No.
No, I'm not telling you about that. I tried to pitch. The last thing I say before we go.
Yeah.
I tried to pitch on the little credits area. Can we say this is a Tubi film? And she said, absolutely not. And for those who are unfamiliar, go on Tubi and watch the movie Keisha.
Oh, God.
You will fully understand why she said absolutely not.
You still have the Zeus app?
Oh yeah, I pay for it annually.
Okay, it's making, yeah.
I'm not watching Blueface Creation though. I refuse.
Wow, out of all the fuckery on that shit, that's the one. That's your
brand. Damn, that's domestic violence. Somebody's going to die from that. I'm not supporting that. What are you talking about?
Yeah,
there's powerful niggardry, and then there's that. I'm not supporting that.
Okay, powerful niggardry, and then there's that.
That's
beyond the niggardry.
Yeah. Exactly.
Anyway, on that note, we out this bitch.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Peace.
Peace.